So listen, it's about our kickoff time. So I want to welcome you guys to the call because I'm very excited about this particular call because Vinny is the very first guest we've had to talk about this and remarkable stuff I've been hearing about for ages, which is efficient microbes or efficient microorganisms or a whole bunch of other names that just go into the generic title of EM. And I've been wanting to know about this stuff for quite some time, and I tried to order it a couple of times and trying to find information about it. And any emerging sort of new technology, there's always going to be a lot of story about it, a lot of information, a lot of background. And so Vinny's going to give us a lot of that background. What I'd like to do is to welcome Vinny to the call. And also just ask that what we'll do is we'll have Vinny present, and then we'll have question time. We'll open up for questions. And so please note your questions down, and we'll handle them in question time, yeah? So, Vinny, you're the man.
Yeah.
You're the guest. You're the man.
Fine.
Tell us, firstly, how you got into this and a little bit about your background, and we'll take it from there.
I don't worry, I will. I've made some notes. And thank you. Well, first, Dennis and Barry, thank you very much for inviting me to speak here tonight. And it looks like we'll be following the standard protocol, which is as follows. Most of the first hour will be largely me giving you some information, sharing what I know about, as Dennis said, the biggest topic will be EM and particularly its ARMIS-like effects under certain conditions. And Barry had also asked me to talk for a bit about some of my other experiences with other ARMIS phenomena that aren't, that are not the product of inorganic chemistry. In other words, that are not the product of reactions with acids or bases or fire or distillation or filtering or strong oxidizers, and rather ARMIS-type effects that are produced via totally different methods. And one of the things Barry asked me to speak on, and that'll probably be in a half hour or a little later, is the magnetite effect, ARMIS effect water devices. I tend to call them MEOW for magnetite effect ARMIS water. The magnetite effect devices that John Malewski, he's a retired chemist, down in New Mexico first developed, I guess about 3 years ago. I've become very fascinated with that technology. But as Barry says, I also have some wide experience with a number of other ARMIS-like non-chemistry technologies as well from over the years. And, hey, I'm more than happy to talk about all of them, but I think the most important focus right now for Barry and Dennis and myself is to get going on the EM connection. So very briefly, first of all, in my background, I'm in my 50s. I've had a wide and varied life. I've had a million careers, zigzagged all over the map in terms of careers in my life. Have a graduate degree in the health-related sciences. I also have a bunch of graduate work over a year in acupuncture as well. Matter of fact, a very esoteric form of acupuncture. That's another story, though. I've also trained somewhat in Taoist acupuncture with an elderly Taoist acupuncturist years ago. If anybody needs to know more about me or my background, you can go to my main directory website, which is www.vinnypinto.us. That's V-I-N-N-Y-P-I-N-T-O. So that's www.vinnypinto.us, and there's a biography page and all the standard stuff there. You can even, if you look hard enough, you'll even find out where I got my grad degree in the early 90s and stuff like that. If you're interested more in my ARMIS focus, my focus on ARMIS-like things and my work in those fields over the years, and it's actually been in a number, I guess I'm kind of like an octopus. I've had my fingers in a number of ARMIS-related pies over the years. If you're interested more in the ARMIS focus, I'd encourage you to go to my ARMIS-related website, which is www.ormislike.info, and that's exactly as it sounds, ormislike.info. That's O-R-M-U-S-L-I-K-E dot info. So, again, briefly for the latecomers, it's about 6:12 right now, and for much of the next 60 minutes or so, I'll be talking about EM enormous and some other, how do we say, non-traditional, meaning non-chemistry, things, technologies, substances that have enormous effects. And then we'll start opening the floor more to questions and answers and discussion. And I realize the free callers, that's the people who aren't paying to join, will be leaving around what I call 7 p.m. my time. Right now it's 6:12 p.m. here. So the questions and answers will probably be largely after that, and we'll go as late as need be.
No, what I'd like to do is we'll do a whole bunch of question and answers before that, Vinnie. So what I'd like you to do is to make sure that there's heaps of time for question and answers for the free room as well.
Yep. Sounds good.
And so,
and then, again, I want to stress I'm more than happy to stick around as long as people want to chat. So let's talk about EM a bit. EM is a generic name for a consortium. That's a beneficial synergistic group of microbes that work well together. And by the way, in nature, microbes almost never live alone. In other words, just one species, whether it's on a leaf or in the soil or in compost or on the skin on your face, or in your eye or in your mouth or on your teeth, all kinds of microbes, including beneficial microbes, always work best in consortia. These consortia are aggregates of different kinds of microbes, usually total 20, 30, 40, 50 to as many as 100 or 200 microbes. On average, they're probably 30. EM is a consortium of beneficial microbes. All of them are natural. You know, they existed in nature for, you know, tens of thousands and probably millions of years before somebody thought of combining them. EM stands, one of the names for this consortium of microbes all over the world is EM. Another is effective microorganisms. Another is efficient microbes. There are other names as well. In Korea, particularly North Korea, they're called compound microorganisms. Other parts of the world are called beneficial microbes or beneficial microorganisms. Sometimes the acronym BM or CM is used as well. What is the key thing about them is there's a lot of lactic acid bacteria in them. In other words, the same things that make yogurt or kefir, the stuff that you drink. There's also the heart. There's also a weird group of microbes that are purple-red, and these microbes can also be photosynthetic if they're provided with light. They don't need light, but if there's light around, they'll use it as one more energy source. And microbiologists call a microbe that can do that phototrophic, meaning it prefers light and it'll even travel to light, and it likes light, but it doesn't need it in order to do what it does. The heart of EM... I'll tell you that in a second. The heart of EM is these purple microbes. I'm going to tell you, before I go on and get into detail about the history of EM and where it got started, because that'll take a good 4 minutes, I'd like to tell you just a bit about some of the things people have noticed when using EM as a nutritional supplement to drink. And in general, it's been fairly widely credited across the world with people claim it's helped them rather drastically at times with healing from cancer, from IBD and IBS. They're both irritable bowel related disorders, and Crohn's disease. And of course, I want to issue a caution here. Crohn's is an interesting one. You know, for every two people that EM helped a lot with Crohn's, there's another person or two who has no results at all. And of course, this is true with other products that Crohn's sufferers try as well. Some of the other areas where EM has helped people a lot, you know, many people over the years seems to be severe allergies, multiple chemical sensitivity, sometimes called MCS. A number of people report it's just easier to get to the heart and the belly, to be focused in their heart and the belly rather than the head. And the fun thing about that is they also report that it makes it easier to meditate, to be really present in the body and in spirit at the same time. When it comes to animals and livestock, the thing that's generally noticed, and this is from numerous studies all over the world, is all kinds of livestock, from chickens to pigs to cows, experience a greater feed conversion efficiency, usually about a 30 to 35% improvement in feed conversion efficiency much lower morbidity and mortality from diseases and illnesses of all causes. Many animal raisers, such as farmers who are either producing breeding stock or producing stock, livestock for market, you know, for meat, report that they've been able to stop administering prophylactic antibiotics. A lot of farmers to this day still administer antibiotics to help prevent disease, and a lot of farmers who use EM are reporting they can stop doing that. And they also, a lot of them also stop vaccinating the animals. Let me tell you two real quick specific tales about, you know, benefits that I know fairly close at hand before moving on. First one is, I heard a while back from a young man in Africa. He had had a terrible problem with Crohn's and with just general food intolerance and allergies, to the point that literally there were only two or three foods that he could eat, and even they, his body didn't tolerate very well. He had terrible problems with fatigue, blinding headaches, horrible diarrhea, and just horrible gut pain as well. Within 2 months of starting EM, by the way, this was the only intervention he was doing then that was different. Within 2 months of starting to drink only modest amounts of EM, and by the way, if anyone's wondering, in his case, he was drinking EM culture. Within 2 months of starting to drink EM, he reported that literally 85% of all of those problems had reversed, and 3 months further down the road, he reported that everything was still improving and continuing to improve. Hey, by the way, one thing I forgot to mention before in terms of general tales is a number of people report improvement in teeth and gums. For example, if they had gingivitis or periodontitis or a tendency to cavities, they noticed that all those things seem to start reversing over the next 4 or 5 months. Interestingly, this is also true for certain other Ormus-like products, notably John Maluski's Magnetite affect water for many people. Again, this is just one of the links kind of indicating that, you know, this is an Ormus-like effect, not just due to the antioxidants and stuff in EM. The second tale that I have for you that's a specific one about some of the benefits of EM is my own case. He used to be very sensitive to wheat and grains, and especially the cooked dairy, you know, meaning pasteurized dairy. I could only eat raw dairy. And even after years on a largely raw diet, I still couldn't handle much wheat, still couldn't, you know, sure my body got better and got healthier, but it still couldn't tolerate much wheat, much grains, or especially much pasteurized dairy. Once I started an EM over about 5 years ago, within 3 months, I noticed my body was suddenly very tolerant. I could, first of all, I could gain weight for the first time in my life. I had always been rather underweight. But secondly, I discovered that my body was simply more tolerant. It no longer minded if I wanted to eat a bit of wheat or even a bit of pasteurized dairy, such as a slice of pizza from a pizzeria. So let me move on a bit now to what EM is. EM is a consortium, meaning a cluster of about 20 to 30 microbes that work well together. It was first developed in the 60s and 70s and early 80s by a university professor in the Okinawas at University of Ryukyu. His name was Dr. Teruo Higa, and he was a professor of horticulture. And I'm a little tempted to tell the whole story about how he stumbled on it. It's a bit about, there's a bit here about at a young age after finishing grad school, he was a new professor, and his specialty was the chemical methods of farming, you know, heavy agricultural chemicals and pesticides, and had a near-death experience from exposure to them. And kind of in the hospital, he asked for salvation. He was kind of guided to start working with microbes and helpful things instead of nasty chemicals for use on soil and plants, and that's how he ended up working with EM. So anyway, what he did was he ended up combining a bunch of microbes that were waste and compost in soil and plants. He ended up finding a way to get them to coexist, and the three largest classes of microbes that I'm referring to are those kind of magical purple microbes I mentioned earlier. By the way, those purple microbes, you'll hear me calling them largely by the name purple microbes. Microbiologists tend to call them PNSB. PNSB stands for purple non-sulfur bacteria. I hate that term. It's too long. It's hard to get it off your tongue. I just call them the purple microbes. The other big cluster of microbes in EM is beneficial yeast. There are some other microbes in EM, including most types of EM, contain the famous natto bacteria. That's Bacillus subtilis variety natto. It's a very powerful microbe. But the heart of EM, the thing that's responsible for producing most of the antioxidants you find in EM, the thing that's responsible for digesting toxic waste and converting it into antioxidants, that's largely the purple microbes. They're also the ones that are the subtle energy heart of EM. Whenever EM has been attributed all around the world for over the last 33 years with having strong subtle energy properties, i.e. strong ormus-like properties, it's invariably always been traced back to these little purple microbes. Matter of fact, I would say that at least 90% of the subtle energy or ormus-like properties of EM are due to the purple microbes. You might ask then, why are the other microbes in there? Because they're cooperative and they support each other, and when you have the group of them together rather than any one or two alone, they can adapt to a far wider range of environments, i.e. a far wider range of temperatures, far wider range of salinity, far wider range of pH. Matter of fact, EM can work anywhere from a pH of about 2 to a pH of about 12 or 13. It's pretty wild that way. The other benefit conferred by the fact of having a consortium, a cooperative group of microbes, is that they can also function together across a wide range of oxygen concentration, from a totally anaerobic environment to a totally oxidative environment, i.e. one where a lot of air is present, perhaps air being bubbled into a pond or something, to aerated. Regardless, these microbes work well in all these situations. That's only because of the consortium. Any of these microbes alone couldn't do that. The consortium, meaning the cluster of 20 or 30 beneficial microbes, each supports the other and helps them survive in environments that wouldn't normally be able to survive well in. But again, when it comes to subtle energy, when it comes to the ormus-like products of EM, I would say about 90% of that is due to the PNSB microbes. By the way, this is going to be a good time to mention, there are going to be some things that I'm going to choose, you know, that might be fun to tell you about EM, and especially if you're interested in cultivating it or brewing various types of brews or EM products for your own use that are high in ormus. Problem is that could take 4 hours or 10 hours. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you now, I'll remind you again toward the end of the call, about a website I have. I mentioned earlier that if you wanted to learn a bit more about my background in the ormus-like realms, you could go to my website at www.ormuslike.info. Well, if you go to a page at that site called em.html, so that's ormuslike.info/em.html. And by the way, you can just go to the main page and click on the EM and Ormus link in the link bar at the top of the page as well. That's going to tell you a lot of things that I'm not going to bother trying to squeeze in this call. Otherwise, the darn call would end up being 10 hours and we'd all be asleep. So again, I refer you to that for a lot of background, especially the links between EM and Ormus. Why do so many people around the world, and why have they been claiming for 33 years that EM has very powerful subtle energy properties? And then since the early 90s, since the words M-state and Ormus started appearing in our vocabulary in the Western world, people started more and more coining the term Ormus or Ormus-like to describe those subtle energy effects of EM. My website has a particular page. Yeah.
Vinny?
Yeah.
I have a question, just real quick.
Sure.
Could you tell us some of the effects that you've noticed from taking EM yourself? And
sure. Well, first I mentioned already one that was actually quite amazing. I had always been underweight all of my life, and being over 6 feet tall, that can be really weird because it means you're cold all the time, even on a 78-degree day. You need to wear a sweater. It's no fun, believe me. created to have almost no body fat. And truly, I knew on a deep level I wasn't healthy. Even though all my other personal trainer friends, I was a personal trainer in grad school, and all my other personal trainer friends envied me because they had 1% body fat, and I would tell them, believe me, it's not pleasant to have 1% body fat. I don't feel healthy. Started on a raw diet, not totally raw, but partly raw diet, you know, raw or all kinds of raw things, including raw animal products, around the year 2000. That helped somewhat. I was able to gain some weight, but I lost it real easily. It didn't stay on. Finally, when I started playing with EM in 2002, discovered several things happened really quickly. I gained about 15 pounds of weight very rapidly within the first month or two, which is quite amazing for me. Everybody used to hate to envy, and they used to hate me. They used to look to envy me because I couldn't gain weight. And finally, I got my heart's desire. I could gain weight easily. And it was a good, healthy weight. It was well distributed all over my body. And it even, and I wasn't working out at all at the time, it even included some, you know, some addition of nice muscle weight, especially in the upper body. And that's always kind of fun, especially if you don't have to sit in the gym and work at it. I'm going to tell you one more even drastic thing that happened, though, even more drastic. Oh, and I mentioned earlier, of course, about the fact that I discovered, to my surprise, that my body could suddenly tolerate grains and wheat, you know, without getting headaches and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And also that my body could tolerate pasteurized dairy. That had almost killed me in the past. If I ate pasteurized dairy, it was kind of like, you know, a death sentence. I felt like hell for days afterwards. That was nice having that, you know, it's kind of liberating having that freedom to eat wheat or other grains if I wanted to once in a while, or pasteurized dairy. Probably the most drastic one for me, though, was this. I had 48 amalgam fillings by the time I was 24 years old. And, you know, with amalgams, they have to excavate a lot of tooth. Even if the cavity was tiny, they excavate and hollow out a lot of tooth in order to make that amalgam stay in there because it's not adhesive. And then, of course, as you probably know, amalgam fillings are roughly 50% mercury. And you get all kinds of corrosion in there as well. So even though a person may think they have some trouble-free amalgam fillings, 99% of the time when a dentist eventually removes that filling, they discover there was a heck of a lot of corrosion and rot going on under that filling.
Right.
I ran into some nasty health problems in my mid-30s, which would be the mid-80s. As a result of that, among other things, I decided, that's kind of like what led me to sun gazing, as a matter of fact, but that's a different call. As a result of all that, I was kind of guided by spirit to get all of my amalgam fillings removed. I was kind of a poor grad student at the time in a graduate school in Western PA, so that kind of sucked. I mean, you know, where are you going to get the money? It takes thousands of dollars to have 48 amalgam fillings removed and have plastic composites put in. But gradually, over the next 7 years, I did exactly that. Looking back, I'm very glad I did. Finally started getting rid of the mercury load in my body. And incidentally, EM helped a tremendous amount with reducing that mercury load in the first 2 years with no other interventions at all. The first 2 years I was on EM. But something wilder than that even happened. Because of the fact that I had all these amalgams removed, the dentist working on me warned me that a lot of my teeth, especially in the upper mouth, the upper jaw, were barely shells. In other words, all that was now left outside of the new plastic fillings was a tiny shell of tooth, and they warned me that eventually those teeth would probably fail above the gum line, so I would end up with a lot of teeth where the root was alive below the gum line, but that there was so little healthy enamel and dentin left above the gum line that the teeth would literally break away to the gum line over the years. And they warned me, hey, at that point your only choice is, you know, to get crowns or dentures or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interestingly enough, that did start happening, and, oh, gee, by the year 2000, I had quite a few, you know, I wasn't in much pain or anything, but if you saw me smile, you could see a lot of, quote-unquote, cosmetic defects in my smile, you know, a lot of gaps in my smile, particularly in the upper mouth. And in terms of my actual dental health, it was largely under control. I was getting very few new cavities. That rate decreased even further when I went on a raw diet in the year 2000. But I still had some gum pocketing, especially around the broken teeth. And as you know, that can be kind of irritating and painful. When I went on EM within 2 months, and that would be in probably late 2002, when I started on EM within 2 months, I noticed that, A, any tendency in my body to develop new cavities or for any old cavities to act up went from low to absolutely zero, totally stopped getting any of those critters. Second thing that happened is all of the gum pocketing, you know, the gum irritation and inflammation around some of the broken teeth, and it would make sense that it was going on, disappeared. It just literally disappeared. And by the way, I was by that point no longer brushing my teeth or flossing. I eventually realized, and I'm not preaching here, I'm not trying to tell anyone else to do this, I eventually realized by the early 2000s that at least for me, toothbrushing and flossing were counterproductive and that I had far better dental health when I did not do them. And interestingly enough, my old amalgam-free, you know, antitoxic dentist loves to hate me because whenever I do go pay him a visit for him to just quickly check out my mouth, he says, I hate you. You're doing everything wrong. You don't ever brush. You don't ever floss. According to the textbooks and according to all the health council and dental council ads, you know, you should have a mouthful of cavities, and he says you have zero gum disease and you have zero periodontal disease and you have zero new decay on your teeth, and even the old cavities that you have never bothered to get filled or repaired where the fillings fell out or whatever, they're perfectly healed over. So he said, I love to hate you. So anyway, that's my story. I'm not necessarily recommending my approach to anyone else. I'm just telling you, I'm reporting to you what I've done and the way it's worked for me. Barry, does that give you a bit more of a sense of some of my own experience?
And you've done some work with plants as well, haven't you?
No, not so much directly. I do kind of go all over the world at times doing consulting on EM. A lot of it's for waste and toxic waste and industrial waste remediation. But sometimes it's for agriculture, too, and this has actually included several very, very large factory farms in Australia. Some were commercial factory farms raising turkeys and chickens. We're talking 10, 20,000 birds or ducks per barn, and some were organic. Now, some people say, oh, that's impossible. How can they call it organic if it's a factory farm? Believe it or not, there are plenty of factory farms all over the world that are certified organic. And for both the commercial growers and the organic growers, they really love EM because, A, it drastically decreases the ammonia and the hydrogen sulfide gases and nasty odors, drastically decreases the incidence of diseases and death. We call that reduced morbidity and mortality in the more technical terms. When it comes to working with crops, I've worked more with some farmers, particularly biodynamic and organic farmers in the U.S. And as a matter of fact, I've done some extensive consulting for some organic farmers and one or two biodynamic farmers. And what they found is, in each case, is no matter how many good things they were already doing, when they added EM, even very small amounts, you know, per acre, a few times a year for the first few years and then once a year after that, they got even better results. And I mean in terms of shelf life of their products, size of their produce, health of their produce, the BRICS rating. I'm not going to get into BRICS, but for those of you who know what BRICS rating is, it's kind of the higher the BRICS rating, it indicates that the plant in its juices, in its sap, has more of everything that's good for it, more antioxidants, more things that would help repel insects, a stronger immune system, and more nutrient value. So, Barry, does that help kind of flush it out a bit?
Yeah.
Fine.
Because,
yeah,
you
one
know,
thing
all of
I
these
had a curiosity
things.
About hearing about any was the almost like effects of the some microorganisms you were telling me about on our phone last week. I'd love if you could talk about some of that because it actually has caused a little bit of controversy. People, you know, a couple of alchemists saying, well, look, you know, we go to an extraordinary length to produce this, you know, fine, almost product.
Yeah.
And I.
And these are the people, just to interject, these are the people who are largely using chemistry.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'd love you to talk about the almost like uplifting effects and expanding and consciousness effects of EM, if that occurs, and how you've experienced that.
Yeah. Well, actually, to back up, again, I remind you, if you want to see some in-depth stories of why people all over the world have claimed that EM has strong, subtle energy, i.e. Ormus-like effects, I do refer you to the EM page on my www.ormuslikeinfo.info page, because, gosh, there's no way I could cover it all tonight. We'd be talking until midnight, and that'd be no fun for any of us. But briefly,
maybe you could tell a story or two about results that you've had in that area.
Well, I personally feel, and of course I'm not alone, there are plenty of other people who feel this, I personally feel that a number of the benefits I noticed from EM aren't as simple as being due to the antioxidants in EM and the probiotic effects. In addition to being a scientist, by the way, I am also a spiritual healer and an intuitive, and I'm a pretty good intuitive when it comes to the things that I'm best at. And the thing that drew me to EM in the first place to work with it was literally direct guidance from what I'll call Holy Spirit and the angels. And they told me, this is before I ever put my hands on it, that the main reason I was being asked to work with it was because of its energetic properties. You could use the word Ormus for that as well. Sure enough, that turned to be true. I would say that a lot of the benefits I noticed for myself weren't as simple, as I said before, as being due to the antioxidants in EM, because if that were true, I could have gotten there just by taking larger handfuls of vitamin C and coenzyme Q10, and that sure wasn't the case. And it wasn't as simple as the probiotic effects of EM. A lot of it was due to the subtle energy effects. And I noticed the two things that I noticed particularly is the improvements in my dental and gum health, I feel, were especially largely due to the subtle energy, the Ormus-like effects. Why? Because these were effects I had noticed in the past when I had played with Ormus products, albeit somewhat, they were often somewhat weaker than the effects I noticed with the EM, but they were still the same kind of effect. They just, weren't necessarily as strong. When I got on EM, that effect was definitely stronger. It's another area that I tend to normally ignore.
Now, would you describe those effects,
Kenny? Pardon? Dennis, I didn't hear you.
Subtle energy effect.
Again, you spoke over each other.
When you kind of get a really strongly Ormus-y EM, how does it make you feel?
Well, as I mentioned on that web page that I announced the link for a few times, if you're at all sensitive, and by sensitive I mean at all energetically sensitive or intuitive or something, when you first sip EM, if you've never sipped it before or touched it before, most people notice that the second it hits your lips, you feel an energy move throughout your body. It's kind of like a flush of warmth and well-being. Face it, at some point this wears off. If you start drinking EM every day, look at me, I drink from 20 to 80 ounces a day of it. I don't feel it anymore because my body is soaked in the stuff, plus I do so many other good things, largely raw diet and all kinds of interesting Ormus-like products as well. But what I've noticed is I've had a lot of alternative-type doctors. Some were real MDs, some were chiropractors, some were naturopaths or acupuncturists come here to visit. And again, this tale is also on the website, so I'm going to be real brief. They've never touched EM before, but they had asked permission to come visit me for a half a day to learn more about EM and to sample some. Almost every one of them, the second it touched their lips, they reported that something had moved throughout their body and had shifted in their body. Most of them were meditators. Almost all of them contacted me within the next month to tell me that it was now suddenly very much easier to get into the heart and the belly rather than being stuck in the head all the time. It was very much easier to get into the heart and the belly where you really contact spirit. And because of that, it was literally 10 times.
Whoever has got the dog barking in the background, would you please hit star 6 so we don't have to listen to it?
That was star 6, whoever has the noise in the background, star 6. Thank you. Dennis, remind me where I was.
You were talking about the subtle energy effects of Ormus and the second that someone had it, they just felt an expansion. And what I've noticed...
The second half, the second part of the story.
Well, so many other Ormus-y products that I've had people tell me that the second they hold something,
they feel expanded.
Yes. The second half of the story that these people called me to tell me was this. They said, in addition to being able to get into my heart and belly and stay grounded, you know, for my spirit to stay grounded in my body more easily, they said the other effect is I'm able to meditate more easily. It takes me less time to get to a meditative state, and it's easier to stay there. It's almost like this stuff is an energy, an energetic and etheric nutrient as well as physical. And I would just kind of nod and say, yeah, that makes sense. I've known that. A number of them have, well, yeah, I think I'll refer you back. I could give you a whole lot more gory detail, but largely. Oh, okay, fine. Let me scroll down on my website then and see where I tell that tale.
I've got a question real quick.
Sure.
When you make your own EM.
No, I don't. I buy EM culture from SCD. That's pretty much the premier, the largest company in the world making and marketing EM around the world. They're
but then
in Kansas
you culture,
City.
Don't you?
And then what I do is, first of all, sometimes I'm lazy. Sometimes I don't feel like brewing stuff for myself from their culture. So I often buy their culture that is highest in the purple microbe. That's a version called EM Plus culture. And I buy it by the 5-gallon cubitainer, you know, nice little container that comes with a spigot and everything. It's great. You can put it right in the kitchen. I often drink that stuff straight. And then when I have the time, I brew anywhere from 6-gallon batches to usually 55-gallon batches of human brews. These are human EM fermented brews for myself. And a lot, not all, but a lot of them are deliberately formulated by me for very, very high ormus-like effects. In other words, to accentuate the ormus-like effects, Barry.
Uh-huh. Do you use the now water, too, when you're doing that, or any
say that again?
Additive? Do you use the
when
now
I make
water?
A batch, for example, when I'm making a 55-gallon batch of EM nowadays, and I don't really mean EM, I mean an EM brew or a super version of activated EM for use with compost and my chickens and ducks and geese and turkeys, per 55-gallon batch, and I'm most comfortable talking about per 55 or 59-gallon batch because I do almost all my brewing in 55-gallon drums, and when you fill them to within half inch of the top. They hold about 59, 60 gallons. Per 55-gallon drum, I usually put in about one bottle of magnetite effect water. You know, that's the meow water that Barry was mentioning. And I also put in about 4 ounces of magnetite black sand. Being heavy, it sinks to the bottom right away, just as do many of the other ingredients, such as the bran and the EM ceramics and some of the other ingredients. But, of course, remember, I'm stirring or shaking. In the case of a drum, I'm not stirring. I'm actually rotating and rolling that barrel on its circumference for about 1 minute once a day for the first 15 days while the stuff is fermenting. And that stirs up any of the stuff on the bottom and circulates those nutrients and circulates the water through any sediments on the bottom. So that's the extent that I use the magnetite technologies with that, Barry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Getting back to the reports I was getting from people who were somewhat sensitive, you know, such as raw food gurus and naturopaths and acupuncturists and chiropractors, many of whom were meditators. The other interesting effect they always reported to me after about 2 months was, and I'm going to quote one guy. This is actually a paraphrase of two different people. One was a raw food guru who's a chiropractor. The other was an acupuncturist slash MD. They each told me, and I'm paraphrasing only slightly, that they had always thought that for the past 6 or 10 years that their heart and belly centers, meaning their chakras, were already very open. And they noticed, though, that they opened a little more whenever they took Ormus products, but the Ormus products were usually rather expensive, and they didn't notice much other effects, so they would always quit the Ormus products. But they told me that when they went on EM, to their surprise, they noticed that those two chakras I mentioned, this is the heart and the belly, and by belly I mean both the belly button and the solar plexus, I mean both those centers, they noticed that those centers opened literally tenfold or 20-fold more, and they said, Vinny, this is impossible. I was already, you know, one of them told me, he said, I also teach yoga. He said, I know thousands of yoga instructors and meditators. He said, he says, I always felt rather vainly that all of those centers in me were already way more open than all my colleagues. He said, this is freaking insane. He said, those centers are now 10 times more open. What did this stuff do to me? And I said, well, remember, it's primarily, sure, it helps heal things and acts as a physical nutritional supplement. But I said, really, it's a nutritional supplement on the energetic level. And what it did was help open you there. By the way, all of these people, I still bump into one of them in my local natural foods co-op. These changes were permanent. As long as they continued drinking EM, even occasionally, these changes were permanent. By the way, this resulted in massive changes and shifts in their meditation. One guy, one of the two people I just quoted, later told me about 3 weeks later that he felt, he had also trained in acupuncture for a few years. He wasn't the one who was the practicing acupuncturist. He felt that, to use his words, all the meridians in his body were 10 times more open and flowing energy 10 times more easily. And the few times he tried doing hands-on healing with his clients, he was largely a raw food guru as well as a chiropractor. And in both roles, he sometimes tried to do hands-on healing with clients. He said, Vinny, my chakras are so wide open that I can often do a healing in 5 minutes that would have taken me 3 hours in the past. And he says, I totally attribute that only to the EM because there's nothing else that I've done, you know, any change in my diet, et cetera.
Wow.
What that brings up for me, Vinny, is a really interesting question. What you've just suggested is the possibility that someone could take an EM product and grow their own, like you've done, with some magnetite and with some charged other almost product, and have.
Oh, and there's also certain other nutrients you would use. Yeah,
we have effectively what could be a major biodynamic biological almost super brew.
Yes, and there are already some people doing that. For proprietary reasons, many of them no longer mention the name EM because they don't want their competitors to know what they're doing. But to give you some hints, there are several concentrated fermented herbal elixirs or algae-type elixirs on the market, some in Germany, some in Switzerland, some in Austria, and two in the U.S. that sell in the range. Are you ready for this? For a little dropper bottle, that sell for prices anywhere from $150 for 2 ounces to as much as $464 for a quarter-ounce dropper bottle. Between you and me, they'll never tell you on their website what the magical microbial concoction is because, you know, they love to do hyperbole. They love to say we're doing a triple fermentation, you know, using a cluster of beneficial microbes that my great-great-grandmother passed down to me over the ages. My family's been using this microbial culture since they were in Switzerland 1,000 years ago. Well, you know what? Bullshit. The reality is they're using EM, and all that nonsense isn't so much to hoodwink their customers, all that flim-flam. It's to confuse their competitors. They don't want their competitors figuring out that the fermentation agent that they fermented those 10 or 20 or 30 herbs or algaes or oils with was really EM. By the way, a lot of them don't use the word ormus in their advertising, too, because, as you know, more in the scientific and health and medical community, ormus often has a really flaky reputation. In other words, if you dare to use the word ormus or REM state, people go, oh, that's not proven. That's just something loony. That's fringe stuff. So they don't mention EM, and they don't mention the word ormus, and then you might wonder, well, how do they make a living? Who the hell would buy their product at anywhere from $155 for a 2-ounce bottle to $464. A lot of these people are doctors, and their patients know the difference, and they willingly come back and buy the stuff. So, yes, Dennis, I've not only produced some very high ormus-type brews and elixirs here, but I've designed some for some clients around the world, and I also have some colleagues who just figured out how to do it themselves. Hey, by the way, while we're on this topic, I should mention very briefly, I keep forgetting to mention this, I've written 2 books on EM over the years. They're both available from SCD. The first one, it's a big fat book, and believe me, it's not for you unless you're a heavy techie and trying to get into the ormus aspects or some other advanced aspects of EM. But the first one is the bigger book. It's about 210 pages on 8.5 by 11 sheets. And it's got literally a whole chapter on how to improve the ormus type effects of EM. There's also plenty of hints on that right on my EM page on my ormuslike.info website as well.
So
those are the places you would start. Oh, boy. I hate it when people ask me that. Here's why. I didn't write the book for the popular market. It was written basically as a techie book. I figured at the most 10 people would buy it in all of history. Well, it's now sold thousands of copies around the world. And so it's got a really bizarre, nerdy name. And I think the name is something like Fermentation with Syntropic Antioxidative. Syntropic, by the way, means anti-entropic or negentropic. So it's got this totally nerdy name of Fermentation with Syntropic Antioxidative Microbes. And I apologize, that's only the first half of the title. I can't even remember the other half. You know, it's the kind of title that's, you know, that's supposed to get, you know, the libido going for a total techie. You know, for a nerd, if you're really, really into microbes, that kind of title will give you an orgasm. For anybody else, they're going to say, what the F were you writing about, you know? So it's a techie book. It's not for the casual user. It's for people who want to, either maybe a farmer who wants to make the very, very best EM products from their EM culture for using in their farm, or for an industrialist who's trying to perhaps produce the most powerful natural deodorizing or disinfecting type product in the world, or, of course, for people trying to improve the ormus content of their brews, whether they're for humans or animals.
Well, hey, I'm going to take this time. We're ending the hour of the free room here soon, so I want to announce the winners here. The first winner is Anthony, and I will be sending you information on how to contact Anthony. The second winner is Roz in the UK. And the third winner is Arthur, who makes one of the Ormus products.
Hi, Arthur.
I don't know if Arthur's on, but he is the third winner. So,
and the three products, by the way, were donated by SCD. They're an EM producer in Kansas City, Missouri. The SCD stands for Sustainable Community Development, and they were donated kindly by SCD.
What are the products that they donated?
There were three products. Two were human-type nutritional brews for human use, and it's interesting. Each has Ormus effects, but they're very different Ormus effects, radically different, and I'll talk about their names in a second. The third was a one-liter bottle of EM culture, a food-grade culture. Most of us, by the way, don't drink the food-grade culture. We buy the agricultural culture because it's way higher in purple microbes, which are the magical heart of EM, even though it wasn't necessarily made in a food-grade environment. We don't care. I'm certainly not telling you should do that. I'm just saying what most of us do. Give me a second. I've got to get some water before my throat goes on me.
While Benny's away, what I'd like to do is to take some questions from the free room before you guys get cut off. If you haven't already cut them off.
Okay. Real quickly, I do have the two product names.
So, Benny,
the two
Benny,
human brews
like
at SCD.
Take a couple of questions from the free room before
sure.
they get cut off. Is anyone in the free room that wants to ask a question or two before you guys go?
Go for it.
Any questions from the free room?
Richard in Albuquerque?
I was trying to find out. No, I did get the initials.
Yeah, speak up.
But I was trying to figure out how you get a hold of them.
Your voice is way too low. We can't hear you.
I'll repeat the question.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out how do you get a hold of the sustainable community development folks to get some of the EM.
No problem. He asked, how do you get hold of these people at Sustainable Community Development in Kansas City to get some EM? Their website is www.scdworld.com. That's SCD as in Sustainable Community Development. So www.scdworld.com. And there's a phone number there, too, if you need to get them by phone. By the way, a quick note, I do a lot of consulting for a number of EM companies around the world, but particularly SCD. Because of that relationship, I have a discount code that I'm allowed to share with you. If you order any product from SCD, if you use my discount code, and you do have my permission to use it and theirs, it's VP, as in Vinnie Pinto, VP2004. By the way, that's capital V and capital P, 2004. All letters run together, no spaces. You get I think it's a 6 or 7% discount on product price if you do that, and that'll apply to all of your orders forevermore.
Wow. Cool.
Fabulous.
Well, we've had interesting kind of a partnership for years. Go ahead.
Any other questions from the free room?
Have a question?
No. That'd be a no.
Speak up again.
Vinny, carry on.
No, hold on. There's a question.
Well, there's somebody trying to ask a question at a very low volume.
This is Darren from Vermont. I'm wondering about Archaea. Hello.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Connection.
Hello?
Is there connection?
I have a question.
We're taking two different questions right now, so hold on. Well, first,
what was
the person
question
in Vermont.
From Vermont?
The question in Vermont was he asked if...
microbes versus bacteria.
What kind of microbes?
No, I understood the question. I'll repeat it. The man in Vermont asked if there are any archaea microbes in EM. Archaea is a different category of microbes. They used to be considered part of the bacteria family. They're now a separate group of microbes called archaea, as different from bacteria as are yeast or protozoa. No, there are no archaea microbes deliberately added to EM. It consists primarily of bacteria and yeast. Three different large genera of bacteria and one genera of beneficial yeast. There are no archaea added deliberately to EM. The reality is whenever you start using it in the environment or as soon as you pour real-world things in there, you're going to get some beneficial archaea microbes growing as well. And now there was a woman with a third question.
That was me, Arlene. I was looking at the Sustainable Community Development page, and I noticed that they have a sterilized with UV.
Can I make a suggestion here? This is just my preference. Get the unsterilized. It's got much more of the purple microbes and a little more of the antioxidant activity. The reason they produce the filtered and is that version's more popular in Japan, where people like really clean, microbe-free drinks. So, whatever. But I prefer the unsterilized.
Okay, and they have it filtered and unfiltered, too?
Yeah. By the way, go ahead. Say that again.
I didn't see the unfiltered one. I just, glanced.
Yeah, it's called filtered but not sterilized.
Yes.
It's not unfiltered. I believe it's called filtered unsterilized.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two types. It's the one that's not sterilized.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, a word of warning about the extra EM product. It's very different from regular EM. It doesn't have that tart lactic acid taste. But unfortunately, fortunately, from the viewpoint of warmest nuts, it's fortunate. For anybody else, it's unfortunate. Unfortunately, it's got very powerful Ormus effects in terms of regeneration and healing, way more so than the other EM products. The other EM products may have stronger Ormus effects in other realms, but in terms of bodily regeneration, in other words, if you're one of those nuts who's trying deliberately, who's dying to have a nice, heavy-duty, nasty healing crisis or detox crisis that feels so grody you think you're going to die, well, you want to start swigging that product, the extra EM. It's very, very powerful. It's often used all over the world, even on people who have, heavy terminal diseases, cancer, diabetes, where they're given only 2 weeks to live. And what they all report is, well, it definitely helps heal them, but they do pay the price in having some nasty detox and cleansing crises along the way. And, of course, as you know, there are plenty of other Ormus-like products that will do that as well. But of all of the EM products, that particular category, that pale yellowish or amber liquid called Extra EM, it's also marketed by some other companies under the name of EMX. if you're looking for nasty healing and cleansing crises, start swigging that stuff. And it's just due to the, you know, to the Ormus-like effect.
Well, in the next hour, I hope you'll tell us a little bit about the meow and your experiences with skin tags and
oh, I'll be happy to tell that the gory story of my cleansing crisis too, if you wish. It was nasty.
Yeah. Well, in fact, if you could you start out a little bit right now? And
Yeah, sure.
We'll give 5 minutes to...
Well, first of all, I want to say, for any of the people who were the free callers, I want to say goodbye, because I know you'll be segueing out in about 2 or 3 minutes, so goodbye and thank you.
I'll give you five minutes.
Oh, okay. Again, just a reminder, if you need to know more about me and my background, and, or am I just some lunatic sitting here bullshitting you, and I'm sure there's always some degree of that because I'm insane, just go to my my homepage website. It's www.vinnypinto, that's VINNYPINTO.US. And for my Ormus-type adventures, go to my website, www.ormuslike, that's O-R-M-U-S-L-I-K-E, as in I like apples or I like cinnamon, whatever. And that's .info, so www.ormuslike.info, and that's got a page on EM. By the way, that EM page will then lead you to some other websites that I created years ago on EM, one that focuses on its uses as a nutritional supplement and even contains plenty of scientific studies from the world's leading antioxidant lab, and the other one is more just general applications of EM, you know, farm, whatever. But I'm not going to give you those links here. They're on that page on the website. So, Barry, I think it's time to start talking about the magnetite water.
Tell us a little bit about that before
Fine.
We leave.
For the folks who don't, know me or much about me, I've been involved in working with subtle energy products and especially things with strong Ormus-like effects since at least the early 80s. Maybe even you could interpret some of my work in the late 70s as being Ormus-related too. But the thing is, none of these technologies I've played with over the years have been at all methods that used what I call the inorganic chemistry methods of the classic alchemists and the classic white gold experimenters. In other words, no fire, no burning, no distillation, no filtering, no acids or bases or oxidizers. Instead, it's always been Holy Spirit and what I call my angels have always guided me to what I call the non-traditional types of Ormus. One you heard about for the first hour, that was EM. Another, by the way, even though I'm a degreed scientist and have a lab here full of thousands of dollars worth of equipment, I don't go out looking for new things that are going to be good for me and good for other people. I don't go out looking for that with my head or with my intellect. Rather, I let spirit and my guides and my angels guide me to these things. Gosh, under a year ago, my angels and guides somehow led me to a page by John Maluski, Dr. John Maluski. He's a retired chemical engineer.
Hello?
You still there?
Hi there.
Hello?
Did we just lose you, Vinny? Vinny, are you still there?
I'm here.
Now, what Vinny said earlier... Well, because he's calling in with a phone card, occasionally it cuts him off. So you can
I'm here, Dennis.
Dialing back in.
Okay, we lost a sentence or two, Vinny.
Barry, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, what did you lose? You lost a sentence or two. Okay, I got it. No, I got it. My brain clicked on what you said. Let me back up a bit. I've always played with the non-traditional forms of Ormus-like things, and of course you heard for the first hour about my involvement with EM, and that too was guided by the angels and Holy Spirit and my guides. And of course EM is a non-conventional type of Ormus source, but about, 8 months ago, my angels and guides led me to an interesting technology, and this is the magnetite effect water treatment device that Dr. John Maluski, he's a retired chemist, chemical engineer actually, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is a technology that John developed a few years ago. The way he developed it was kind of interesting. John had long been interested in subtle energies and Ormus and also in alchemy, and he had taken a number of Ormus products over the years and noticed some benefit from them, but they weren't great. and they were also expensive, as his wife sometimes reminded him, he eventually brought a rather powerful magnetic trap device and started using it to produce rather copious amounts of magnetic trap water because he didn't really want to have to buy Ormus products anymore, but he wanted to get, you know, the good Ormus juice. His wife started really bugging him about this and said, John, you know, she told him repeatedly, John, we live in the desert. Water is scarce. I really don't like the idea that you're wasting 100 gallons for every quart of, you know, trap water that you're making. That's too wasteful. You know, so he went into a meditation, and sure enough, he was told this is true. So he eventually just had this brainstorm. He decided he was working a lot with magnetite, and even during his career, he had worked with magnetite a lot. Magnetite is a naturally occurring ore. It's an oxide of iron, and just it also, you know, to tell you the other side of what magnetite is, it often co-occurs in nature with a lot of transition elements, including the rare earth elements, and including silver and gold and rubidium and all kinds of other neat transition elements. It also co-occurs in nature a lot of times with a lot of ormus. In other words, it often comes bearing high ormus activity. I guess guided largely by intuition, John basically took a spring water bottle and filled it with water and put it in the center of a bucket and then surrounded the bottle with magnetite sand for a few days, pulled the bottle out and drank the water and felt that it had strong ormus-like properties. And he eventually even came up with some designs so that the average person could make ormus treatment devices at home using just, you know, a cardboard oatmeal can for the outer shell and a 3-inch diameter mailing tube from Staples as the inner shell. And then, of course, the coaxial shell, the intercoaxial shell, cylindrical shell outside the bottle, but inside the cardboard, the outer cardboard shell, was, of course, filled with about 8 or 10 pounds of magnetite sand. By the way, just to give you some real basics on these devices, I know a lot of you are familiar with them. A number of you already belong to my email list group devoted to this topic. And by the way, if you need a link for that list group, just go to that website, my Ormus-like website. There will be links there for all of my Ormus-related list groups. You don't need that from me over the phone. That's a time waster. But for those of you who aren't familiar with this technology, normally what one does is you, when you build one or more of these devices, well, you normally build about 6 of them, and you then, in other words, each one will hold a 25 or 26-ounce bottle of spring water in the center, and each one probably contains about, a cylinder of maybe 10, 12 pounds of magnetite in the outer shell. Normally, people treat each bottle of water for about 3 days to 6 days. So if you have only 6 of these units, if you build only 6, that means you would drink one bottle a day, and each bottle would be 6 days old by the time you got to it, and you would just keep drinking them and replacing them in a rotational order. As soon as you pull one out to drink, you put a fresh bottle of water in there to percolate for 6 more days. Or if you choose to drink 2 bottles a day, you would be drinking 3-day-old water. Just to give you, by the way, all these basics are already on my Ormus Water website. And again, I have a website devoted totally to this topic. Again, if you go to that ormuslike.info website of mine, you'll see a link on the top of the page that takes you to a subdirectory, a subfolder. It's called Ormus Water and Meow. If you click on Ormus Water -Meow, and again, Meow stands for Magnetite Effect Ormus Water, you'll be taken to that whole website with, it's got instructions on how to build your own devices. In general, in the conventional magnetite effect Ormus water treatment devices that were developed by John Maluski, in general, we want to treat water for at least 3 to 4 days. There isn't much increased benefit after the 3rd or the 4th day. John and I feel that about 94% of the benefit is accrued in the first 3 days. You get another 3 or 4% in the 4th day, and then the incremental improvement per day after that is on the order of about 0.5% per day. So, you know, for all practical intents and purposes, your bottle of water is done being treated once it's been in the device for 3 or 4 days. Quick word of warning, I occasionally hear from people who said, you know, this stuff is nonsense. Well, let's use the language they use. They say, this stuff is horseshit. I built 10 of those devices a couple of years ago, and, you know, they're still sitting in my basement, and they don't work. And immediately my intuition kicks in, and I say, you're 1 in 1,000, and I can almost guess what you did. What kind of water did you use? they always tell me, oh, I use the best distilled water or the best demineralized water or the best reverse osmosis water. And by the way, all of these are waters that are totally empty of any and all mineral structure and content, and often devoid of energy as well, by the way. This effect does not work to a large extent with distilled or RO or demineralized water. If you're going to go to the extent to make one or more or 6 or 10 of these devices, you must put what I call God's natural water in, water that percolated through the rocks of the earth, and you've either recovered it from a spring or a well or a stream, or maybe your municipal water department pumped it from a well or from a nearby river or lake. You need naturally mineralized water. It does not work to put in distilled water. There are very tiny effects, but they are literally 1/100th or 1/1000th of the effect that you'll notice if you're using naturally mineralized water. Interestingly enough, a lot of the effects of a magnetite device, now those of you who know me and are on my list group and have already read my Ormus Water website, my Meow website, already know this by heart. So I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is more for the benefit of those of you who don't know my work with these devices. The effects you're going to observe with this magnetite water, the water from the Meow devices, is going to largely depend not only on the magnetite you use, in other words, what kind of trace elements, what kind of rare earths, what kind of Ormus elements were co-occurring with it, but it's also going to depend on the water you start with. So even if you are starting with a mineralized water, you know, such as a well water or spring water or municipal water, your effects are still going to vary quite a bit of variance simply due to what minerals were or were not in the water. I have some tricks I've come up with over the past months for souping up the water. And again, whenever I'm talking about souping up water, I live in the mountains, so when I'm talking about souping up my tap water, my normal tap water is totally unfiltered and untreated mountain well water. I live in the mountains in a very pristine area, and have about a 90-foot well in the backyard, and my water is totally unfiltered. I believe in really minimalistic water treatment. I believe that aggressive water treatment to remove nasty things usually removes accidentally way too many good things as well. So I'm really kind of down on water treatment unless it's absolutely needed. What I do to soup up my well water when I'm putting it in my Meow devices, by the way, I used unsouped up, you know, I used totally virgin well water in my Meow devices for the first 4 months. And then I kind of asked Spirit in a meditation one day, I said, Holy Spirit, tell me something that would make my Meow water, you know, cheap and easy and dirty and quick and at hand, that would make my Meow water more, you know, more powerful. And I was told to take some pink Himalayan sea salt that I had at hand. It was in a powdered form, and add a tiny pinch. It comes out to about 50, 60 milligrams per 25-ounce bottle. I was told to add a tiny pinch to each bottle after filling it at the tap and before dunking the bottle in the device for its 3 or 4 day stay. By the way, I have 20, just so you know what you're dealing with here, I'm a nut. I'm as bad as John Malewski. I have 20 of the conventional magnetite devices, the Meow devices. We call them Meow kettles or Meow buckets. Again, Meow is magnetite effect Ormus water. 18 of them are built into the cardboard shells. 2 of them contain more like 20 or 30 pounds of magnetite because they're built using my really premier high-end plastic shells that I designed, and they're mentioned on my website. You can even see pictures of them. They're a larger diameter, and they hold a larger mass and a larger radial thickness of magnetite so that the treatment effect on the water is quicker and more powerful. Then I also own 3 or 4 of my more advanced technology of the Meow devices. These aren't the basic technology that John developed. These are devices that not only incorporate some additives, about 5% by weight of other ores and substances as additives in the magnetite sand, and also contain a larger mass of magnetite sand, i.e. 20 or 30 pounds, but these are devices that also employ magnets in a very judicious way to increase the power of the device. Now, I just told you what I just said with great trepidation, because as John Malewski would say, there's a million way both of us all the time. saying, oh, I'm a magnet nut. I make all kinds of magnet armless water. How, you know, tell me, what can I do with magnets to put on these meow devices to make them more powerful? And as John would say, and as I would say, there's a million ways to do it wrong if you start putting magnets near a magnetite, a meow kettle, and only one or two ways to do it right. Luckily for me, I not only have a very extensive testing lab, which includes instruments which can sense the effects of the meow device on the water, and this includes an $18,000 digital NIR UV VIS spectrophotometer, but some other very sophisticated equipment as well, including things that can measure extremely tiny changes in ORP, that's redox potential, and in pH. But luckily, I'm also an intuitive, because otherwise it would have taken me, even with the lab, it would have taken me a million years, as John says. Within months after going into my lab and working on this, I was able to come out with three different designs of very much souped-up meow devices. So, yes, I still have my 20 devices, and I drink 5 bottles of water from them a day that use the traditional technology. But I also have some more advanced devices. And to give you an example, these are the ones that use the magnets in a very judicious way. The technology that I call my Meow SM2 technology, I don't even remember what the SM stands for anymore. I hope it was something civil. The SM2 device, it does contain some magnets as well as some other ores with the magnetite. And according to both my intuition as well as the effects I see in my body and in the bodies of everybody else who tries it, and by the way, sometimes this liquid has first been shipped to someone by UPS ground for a week, so imagine all the x-rays and other stuff and the other abuse it was subjected to for a week of traveling by UPS or FedEx to California. We noticed that this SM2 device in about 1 hour can bring water to the point that it would take three and a half days in the conventional meow kettle. Weirder yet, we have found that since the device is more powerful, it can somehow impart a deeper ormus-like effect in the water than the regular device, even if you left water in a traditional device not for 3 days but for 100 days. If you leave water in the SM2 version of the device for 1 hour, it's now as powerful as water that was treated in a conventional cardboard meow kettle for about 3.5 days. But if you leave the water in there longer, for about 12 or 13 hours, whoa. Well, I could give you an example. You have something that will probably give you a cleansing crisis within a day or two if you start drinking more than a few sips a day. I made the mistake when I first built my SM2 device of thinking I could promiscuously drink the water as freely as I was drinking the water from the traditional device. Bear in mind that by that point, I had 20 of the traditional devices and I was drinking four or five 23-ounce bottles of water a day from that. It started producing some 10-hour treatment water in my SM2 device. This is water that had sat there for 10 hours. And I started drinking it, and I kind of remembered hazily that my intuition and Holy Spirit had told me only drink 2 ounces once a day in the beginning because it's too potent. And, you know, within days, I got lazy, and I totally forgot all those little inner voices that came in my meditation. And I started drinking. Yeah, you know what's coming next. I started drinking 2 bottles a day of the stuff. And at first it was great. I not that I go around looking for increased libido. By my age, that doesn't really matter. Once you're kind of centered in the heart, libido and things like erections don't really matter anymore. But still, it was kind of fun. All of a sudden, I had more libido-type energy than I had in about 30 years. And I was like, well, this is weird. And then after a few days of enjoying all that extra libido and all that deep health, you know, because what was happening was the deepest levels of energy batteries in my body, you know, what the Chinese call the finest levels, the most subtle levels of qi. When I say Chinese, I mean the Chinese acupuncture traditions in which I trained years ago. The deepest levels of qi in my body were being recharged. And by the way, it's almost impossible with most technologies and nutrients to recharge them. Only some ormus products can do it, and only really some of the higher end, you know, more sophisticated ones. after about 2 or 3 days of enjoying, you know, all this incredible glowing good health and energy, my body said, oh, well, you know, now that we have all this good energy, we can do some deep healing work. So I immediately went into some nasty healing crises. I went into some mild healing crises about a month after I started drinking the traditional Miao water, but it was very mellow, just some headaches and some discomfort for about a week. And I knew it for what it was. I've had plenty of healing crises and detox tissue crises before, so I knew what it was. With the SM2 water, it was more violent. I got some pretty nasty, violent headaches and eye aches. I even got a bit of a rash on my face. An intuitive friend of mine said it was some last bits of mercury finally coming out of my head from all the amalgam fillings, the 48 amalgam fillings from years ago. And that may be. That lasted about a half a week of feeling like hell. By the way, I quickly learned to slow down the Miao water intake to just a couple of ounces a day. I can now drink a bottle or two of the SM2 water in addition to 5 bottles of the traditional water a day, but that's only because they built up to it slowly.
So, Vinny, what
I
can
where
do
I
is
go
to,
next with
to,
this
if,
one.
If
Barry,
the
is it time to tell
moving.
One of my gory, really yeah, gory
Yeah, tell your gory
story.
What did you say, Dennis?
Barry?
I was just saying I'd love to be able to take some questions
Dennis?
On the subject now.
Okay, my question is, what do you mean, gory stories, Vinny? Are you still there, Vinny?
Barry or Dennis, are you there?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm afraid we got disconnected. I am going to dial back in.
No, you're there.
You're there.
I hear you fine.
He's gone. Anyway.
Again.
So in the meantime, start thinking about the kind of questions you want to ask, because as I mentioned in one of my emails, Vinny's a bit of a motor mouth, and we're gonna have to ask questions. Otherwise, he'll just carry on. And
I have a quick question.
Well, let's wait until he's back.
Okay.
What is it anyway?
Well, I was wondering if store-bought spring water would work in the Meow devices.
Vinny, are
you
back?
Living in...
Yes, it will.
Okay.
But be sure you ask Vinny, too.
Yeah, because a lot of us live in cities where, you know, we're not going to be able to get pristine well water.
Anything that isn't distilled or RO filtered or whatever, if it's still got most of the minerals in it as it came from your water department,
okay,
it seems to be quite beneficial.
Okay.
Barry?
Thank you.
Barry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Arlene again. So, when
by the way, this is Vinny. I lost my call. I'm back.
Okay, Vinny.
Hey. Hi, Vinny. It's Arlene.
Hi.
Another question. I just was wondering,
sure.
The town that I live in used to have well water years and years ago, but now they have like a big giant water tower. And
yeah.
Although they put. Like,
well, by the way, a water tower, the water isn't made in the tower. It's usually just pumped from the well to the tower to act as a reservoir for peak demand hours.
Right, but I think they do add chemicals like chlorine and...
And you can always find out what they're adding by calling your municipal water department. They'll tell you that, you know, they're very open about that.
Right.
You know, personally, I don't worry too much about small amounts of chlorine. I hate the chloramine-type products they're using nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't like fluorides. You know, if I had that kind of water, I would probably do very minimal, maybe charcoal filtration to get rid of the chlorine and some toxins, and maybe a little bit of activated resin to get rid of the fluoride. That's about the extent I would do.
I don't think they put fluoride in it, but then you could use that water that we, you know, would normally filter ourselves.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. People all over the world use these magnetite devices with municipal tap water. As a matter of fact, John Maluski in New Mexico you know, Albuquerque, including his home in Albuquerque, is entirely on municipal well water, but it's treated, you know, with chlorine and all kinds of other things. And he was just using his trap water. He wasn't going to the extent to go out in the mountains and get spring water. He was just using plain old tap water. And nonetheless, he noticed, you know, drastic reversal of his hair color. His hair color started going from gray and white back to his natural color. By the way, his hair fully restored to natural color within 14 months of being on the Meow water.
He
said, pardon me?
Now, I would like to have some pictures of that. I have some pictures of
John.
Partly restored.
Yeah, it took about 14 months, he said. He said it took 12 months for a 95% restoration of his hair color and 14 months for a 95%, and that was now 2 or 3 years ago, so I'm assuming it's now 100%, although I'm making an assumption about the last 4 or 5%. They also, both he and his wife also noticed drastic improvement in their skin, you know, just softer, smoother skin. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to use John's vernacular. I'm not sure what he meant. I've never asked him. But he said age spots just fell off their hands. You know, age spots just fell off. Someday I've got to ask him, does that mean that the body gradually simply dissolved them and resorbed them, which is my experience? Because remember, they're not.
No, they fall. They literally fall off. They've fallen off. I have some age spots, and they just kind of seem like.
That is so funny.
They just kind of peel off.
Yeah, they peel off.
Yeah, that's the language that John used. The two places he's talked about it in writing, as a matter of fact, one of them's on your website, Barry. That's what
mm-hmm.
he said. They fell off. And by the way, there are some other Ormus-related technologies where people more just notice the spots are getting smaller every day and then disappear. That's so fascinating. The other thing that happened for him, and he often says to me, Vinny, this stuff, sure, it helps the body as a nutritional supplement, but he says, Vinny, this stuff is Starbucks for the spirit and the soul. And his evidence for that is he feels that he's had drastic improvements in his creativity and inspiration and intuitive access and just an insight, you know, an intellect, just an intellectual functioning since going on the Meow water, drastic improvements. And the other thing, and by the way, for those of you who know about Meow water, you know what I'm talking about. But the other thing I've got to mention is everybody who drinks the Meow water for more than about 4 or 5 months, and this is, again, this is a preface. This is totally due to the fact that this stuff, whatever it is recharging the what some people call the third battery, the deepest level of batteries, of energy batteries in the body on the most subtle level, you know, the energy stored in the kundalini area at the base of the spine and stuff like that. What happens for everybody who's on this water more than a few months is they get drastically increased libido, even if they're 80 or 90 years old. I have some really funny stories about that for you. I certainly didn't expect that in my case because, hey, I've not only been a healer for years, but I live a pretty heart-centered life. And frankly, you know, this sexual energy doesn't really matter much to me. It really doesn't. And much to my surprise and shock, about 4 months into drinking the Meow water, especially when I started drinking the water from my SM2 and SM3 devices, I started, because that probably jump-started the thing and accelerated it by about a year, I started experiencing massive increases in my libido, my sexual energy. It's kind of funny. The other effect that's consistently noticed by a number of people who drink magnetite effect Ormus water, Meow water, is that if they were smoking cigarettes, they lose all interest in smoking. Even if they were chain smokers and addicted, almost all of them lose all interest in smoking within 3 to 4 months. For some, it happens as soon as the first week. By the way, in general, and again, this is old hat to those of you who know me or John and I work with this, the effect of this water is not rapid. In other words, if you build 1 or 2 or 3 or 6 of these cardboard Meow kettles, you don't take a sip and say, wow, holy shit, I'm supercharged, I'm Superman now, everything's healing. No, as a matter of fact, other than some neat little subtle energy things, you don't notice any changes at all in your health for about 2 or 3 months. Then all of a sudden, you notice that any gum disease or periodontal disease or dental problems you had are now history. If you had really severe pocketing or really severe periodontitis, or really severe cavities, the reports I'm hearing are more to the effect that it might take 2 years for that stuff to fully reverse itself. But usually your dentist or dental hygienist will start noticing it within 3 months of your going on the water. There are a number of other effects that people notice, too, with the water. Again, you know, improvement in skin, younger-looking skin. By the way, the only other Ormus-type product or effect or phenomenon where I've ever heard such strong and convincing stories about improvements in those or changes in those particular realms are the Sparky water and the Gold water from ancient tech. That is the stuff produced by Dene Harding in southern Colorado. And interestingly enough,
his stuff is
like me. Pardon me?
Yeah, his stuff is great.
Oh, I only stumbled on her stuff a few months ago, totally accidentally. And, again, being an intuitive and being used to all the hype and nonsense in the market and knowing how many things are overhyped, I always just go to my heart and ask my intuition, is this for real? And, man, the second I stumbled on her work, it was actually a colleague, a mutual colleague of John Maluski's and mine. His name is Greg. He's also a retired scientist. He happened to mention Dene and her work to me on a phone call, and I realized that's weird. I accidentally stumbled on one of her websites while searching for an image of lightning in a jar a few weeks ago, and I didn't really pay much attention because I just needed to look at the image for something. So, and Spirit spoke to me and said, as soon as you get off this call, go to her website and then call her. And that was the beginning of, well, of my being very impressed. And I'm not easily impressed, especially when it comes to Ormus-type claims, because I've seen them all, and I've actually done consulting work for a number of companies in this field, and I'm not easily impressed. And my intuition immediately told me her stuff was the real stuff, every bit as real as the magnetite water. And I remain very impressed with her stuff, and I recommend her and her stuff to many people. Okay, getting back to the magnetite water, one of the effects I noticed is I had one very tiny skin tag in my left armpit. Skin tags tend to grow, tend to be prevalent on my dad's side of the family. He was 100% Italian, and he used to actually get skin tags on his neck. They weren't ever very big, like a quarter inch, eighth inch, on his neck, on his upper back, as well as in his armpits and his crotch. And every few years, he'd have to go to a doctor and get them kind of burned off. It sounds really gross. Well, since my 20s, I've had a very small skin tag in my left armpit, or I had, and I also had two very small ones near my scrotum down in the crotch. They were harmless. I just noticed them, you know, when showering, and that was it. They didn't cause any problems. A few months ago, after months and months and months of drinking Meow water, and about a month after starting my souped-up SM2 water, the two skin tags in my crotch area literally burned off my body with a great burning and searing pain. The burning and searing pain started about a half hour before they burned off, and then they literally burned off and flew off. And the burning and searing pain continued for about an hour afterwards. You may ask, was I at all freaked out? And the answer is no. I'm a veteran of a million different weird healing systems and of Ormus and of a million other things, and I'm a spiritual healer. So, you know, I knew exactly what was going on. And, by the way, I eventually asked Spirit what the deep burning pain was about that continued after the skin tags had burned off. And what Spirit said, well, is these skin tags are almost like a mini benign tumor, and they have little roots that go down into your body, you know, into your skin, maybe a half inch. And that burning you're feeling is literally God and Mother Nature burning all of the remnants, the roots, out away from your body. And sure enough, about a half hour after the skin tags fell off, that was it, no more pain, nothing, and there wasn't even a tiny spot on my skin to notice where they had ever been. At the time they burned off, I checked the one in my armpit. It was still there. A week and a half later, in other words, that did not start to burn off. It was still there. A week and a half later, I did not only a lot of Meow water, both my regular Meow water and the SM2 version Meow water, but I also kind of, well, you know, you've heard of people who admit to substance abuse or abusing alcohol. Well, I committed Ormus abuse. One day I decided to overdose myself on the Meow water, And I also decided to abuse, meaning overdo, some other Ormus products I had as well. And among other things, I drank a half of a quart jug of the Tears of Trihalta water produced by Thomas down in Georgia. And I also drank literally a half a bottle of each of the four Mountain Manna products. And I did some other Ormus things as well. And innocent little me, I figured nothing would come of it. Well, the next day, my body went into the nastiest, and believe me, I've been through some nasty healing crises, being a raw foodist and an EM addict, and I used to be an acupuncturist. Believe me, I've been through nasty healing crises. I literally thought I was going to die on this one. What happened is, in the past, I had had a number of abscessed teeth in my upper jaw, partly due to the amalgam fillings and partly due to the fact that at one time, no, I no longer have allergies anymore, but at one time in my life, from age 3 to about age 37, I had very bad hay fever. Because of that, it was so bad, in order to manage it, I used to have to spray cortisone in my nose, and as you probably know, cortisone is an immune suppressor. So it got nasty fast. Because of the immune suppression effects of the cortisone seeping down from my sinuses into my upper teeth, in my mid-30s, I ended up getting 8 abscessed upper teeth, and I had root canals done on them. And as you know, root canals are less than perfect, so not only did I have the pain of the abscess, the root canals, and they were never perfect. The healing crisis that I'm telling you about that happened for me about 6 weeks ago, the one that was brought on by overdose of the Meow water and other Ormus-type products, it lasted a week, and in that, I relived. It was kind of like, this is literally like a video retape. All the memories and all the sensations came back. I relived every dental abscess I had ever had in my mouth. I relived every injection of Novocaine I had ever had in my mouth. You know, I could feel the needle going in. I relived all of the root canals I had ever had done in my mouth. That would be 6 upper and 2 lower. But this time without the benefit of the Novocaine, in other words, I got to relive them in total vivid technicolor, and without any Novocaine, I could feel the drill going down. And this is all in fast motion, by the way, about 4 times faster than it happens in reality. So if I had a 4-month abscess, I experienced that in 1 month. If I had a dental procedure that took 3 hours, I experienced it in under an hour. If I had a dental extraction years later, of one of those abscessed teeth that took an hour, well, I experienced it in 15 minutes. I had to relive all of that crap for a week, and I had no choice in the matter. In addition, my entire inner mouth, you couldn't tell anything was wrong from the outside of my face, but my inner gums swelled up drastically, and I was told by Spirit, oh, that's because there was still a lot of debris and toxins and stuff and scar tissue stuck deep in your jawbone in the upper jaw, and it's all coming out now. So, of course, you're going to be mildly uncomfortable. Well, folks, it wasn't mildly uncomfortable. My mouth, especially on the upper jaw, was so swollen I could barely breathe or drink water through my mouth, and my mouth was so painful. I literally looked like a rabies victim. I was not only drooling constantly. By the way, I was flat on my back in bed 20 hours a day from the pain and the fatigue of this. And I was mainly just, I had to fast. I was too ill to eat food, and I couldn't get it down my poor, painful throat. So I just lived on Meow water for about 8 days. And, of course, EM, which, of course, makes it even worse because of its Ormus properties. But I figured, hey, if I'm in it, I might as well just brute force my way through it. For 3 days, my throat was so painful that to swallow even one gulp of water was incredibly painful because I was in 104-degree fever, and my throat was spasming and swollen, again, due to all the toxins coming out. And my gums were incredibly swollen, and I was not only drooling, but I was foaming at the mouth. It was just this heavy orange saliva coming into my mouth, and it was just foaming. So I looked like your classic rabies victim. It was quite wild. And, of course, I couldn't take any phone calls in that period. My wife would just tell people, oh, he's busy in the lab right now. She didn't want to tell them he's busy in bed dying. You know, call back in a week. Anyway, I lived through it. One of the weird things is about a week after I got through that, I said, gee, I wonder if that little skin tag that had been in my armpit since age 20, by the way, the skin tags that I mentioned earlier near my scrotum, they had been there since age 21. That's what I get for sleeping with goats. No, I didn't say that. The skin tag in my armpit, I went to the mirror. Sure enough, it had burned off, and I don't remember it. I was in so much pain from the dental stuff that I wouldn't have noticed a little tiny burning, searing pain in my armpit. I did not believe that it was gone because I said, well, if it's going to be gone, I would have felt it burn away. So I went to my wife and made her check both of my armpits minutely with the magnifying glass, and sure enough, there was no trace of the skin tag anymore. Fascinating thing here is those three skin tags had been with me since age 20. That's that's 36 years ago for me, so that's pretty amazing.
Have you noticed
any improvement
in terms of new growth in your mouth, new teeth or new filling in cavities?
I kind of have a mild hope that eventually, either due to my spiritual healing work or just due to all the other weird things I do, and we're talking about a lot of them on this call, I'm hoping that eventually, you know, God and the angels will eventually grace me with a whole new set of teeth. I don't bother doing cosmetic dentistry, so even if you were to meet me on the street today, you would see all the gaps in my mouth from the missing teeth, because my mouth is actually more pain-free and more functional than it ever was since age 10. So I figure, why bother with the silly cosmetic dentistry stuff, you know, spending 20 grand on partial dentures just to have a pretty smile? The other reason, and I'm being really serious here, the other reason why I kind of don't want to have any kind of partial or full dentures put in is it normally involves removal of other existing good teeth and also driving some posts into otherwise good roots in order to support the denture work. I don't want to damage what's left there. I kind of trust that if God and the angels eventually want me to have all new teeth, I'll get them. But no.
Are you going to take some before pictures?
Pardon me?
Are you going to take some before pictures?
Well, if Spirit gives me advance warning, I'll grab the camera or hand a camera to somebody else and ask them to take some pictures of my gap filled mouth.
Please take some before pictures. Consider this to be advance warning.
Barry, are you telling me that you're speaking for Spirit here and that this is coming down the pike?
Well, I just know that a lot of people have had experiences where teeth have filled in, so I would like to...
Yeah.
By
the way, the one thing I will tell you is, as you know, I already had filling in, meaning total repair, of all my old cavities. They totally sealed over. When almost total repair of all my old cavities and little spots of gingivitis, even when I was on EM. One thing that I forgot to mention earlier that totally amazed me is in my first 3 weeks on Meow Water, and this wasn't even my souped-up stuff from the SM2 or the SM3 super devices. This was just the plain old cardboard stuff, you know, from the cardboard devices, cardboard shell devices. But then the first 3 weeks I suddenly noticed, I had a couple of little tiny hot spots on my gums, even despite the EM, where there was still just a little tiny bit of inflammation. You know, especially if food got caught there, you'd often, you know, smell a bit of a grungy smell there the next morning if food had gotten stuck in that pocket. It was just a tiny pocket. You're always next to a horribly broken and cracked tooth. And by the way, when I say cracked teeth, I'm not joking. I actually have in my upper jaw cracked roots. I mean, according to dentists, that's death on wheels. You know, they say, oh, the wrong microbes will get in there within 10 hours and you'll be dead in 2 days. And no, I've been walking around with these for years. All of these things improved. They were already 90% improved. They improved the last 10% as soon as, within 3 weeks of going on the Ormus water. So I have zero discomfort anywhere in my mouth, which is the best my mouth has been.
Spirit didn't tell you to take before pictures?
No.
Well,
I'm
telling you to take before pictures now.
By the way, luckily, there's a great video that was shot of me, a three-hour DVD video that's in wide circulation. You know, a couple of companies, including SCD, market it, of me lecturing on EM and agriculture and health at Shepherd College in West Virginia about 3 years ago. And believe me, in that video, whenever I smile, you can clearly see that Vinny looks like he's missing about 10 teeth in his upper mouth. So that's part documentary evidence there.
Good.
And by the way, the other documentary evidence is my old anti-amalgam, anti-toxin dentist has x-rays clearly showing those teeth are missing, and even a lot of those roots are missing, or they're dead roots due to root canals. But when a root canal is done, for those of you who don't know, the nerve is killed and the tooth is now dead. So now you basically have a chunk of dead bone in your jaw that'll last about 10 more years before it falls out.
We're running towards the end of the second hour, and I'd like to be able to take some questions, please. If anyone got any questions they want to ask from Vinny.
Sure.
Absolutely, I have one. I was curious about...
your name?
I'm sorry. My name is Anthony LaRusso in New York.
Thank you.
I've been reading up on the Volixir product, and I'm now on the list. They've been talking about a plan where you buy 16 little magnets and you put them on sort of a steel plate on two sides of the blender, and then of a regular kitchen blender. And then when you, you get the vortex action going. So, for a few minutes, and that there's some effects to that water.
I'm very familiar with that technology.
Okay.
There are about 50 companies marketing magnet and blender type devices on the market, just so you know. And yeah, I'm very familiar with the technology. Please feel free, go ahead with your question.
I'm just curious, I probably want to compare both these things because I want to do my own meow device, but I wanted you to speak a little bit about the vortex action that the magnetite does. And how it does it, and what role you think that plays in bringing out the effects.
I know John has the impression, he's speculated. He says it's even less than an impression. John has speculated once in writing on one of his website pages that perhaps there's some kind of interception being done by this cylinder of magnetite sand surrounding the bottle. Perhaps
right.
It's intercepting the Earth's magnetic field, and perhaps it's inducing a vortex, some kind of energy vortex in the bottle of water. That is not, speaking as an intuitive, that is not my sense, or at least if that's happening, that's not something that spirit has ever chosen to show me. When I go into a deep state and I'm asked, and I ask to be shown what's going on in these magnetite devices, I'm shown a bottle being inserted. And by the way, this is a conventional magnetite device, an oatmeal can full of about 10 pounds of magnetite sand and, bottle in the center.
Right.
What I'm shown is a bottle of fresh spring or well water is inserted in the center, and almost immediately white spots of light start materializing, and I'm told these are proto atoms, usually of rare earth or transition or metallic elements. They don't have to be metallic elements. I'm told they're proto elements materializing literally out of the ether, out of subquantum space, out of whatever you want to call it. And they appear on the inner level, when spirit shows it to me, as about 10,000 white dots of appearing per second. As time passes, the count, the frequency of this stuff decreases, and by the end of the third day, you're down to maybe only 100 new spots of light appearing every minute. And by the end of the fifth day in the traditional device, you're down to about maybe 3 or 10. And when I've asked, well, why does it decrease, I'm told that due to a saturation effect, there's now so much of this white light energy and these proto-atoms. There's literally now billions of these very high, the word that's used with me is highly subtle or high-frequency forms of ormus. By that, I mean these aren't coarse forms of ormus. They're very, very subtle. They're even harder to detect with lab instrumentation than most forms. I'm told that the water is now largely saturated with that, so that's why there isn't much more of the white light. Incidentally, I had an experience recently where a clairvoyant, now I'm not a clairvoyant at all. I'm the farthest thing from a clairvoyant. I don't look at people and see auras or look at things and see colors. I do get to see on an inner level whatever spirit might want to show me as an illustration while I'm meditating, but that's very different. Somebody who owns one of my SM3 devices, that's even more advanced than the SM2, was at a healing conference recently, and one of his senior teachers is a very, very powerful clairvoyant, supposedly one of the best in the world. Without telling him anything about the magnetite water or what it was, he handed his senior teacher a bottle of this water and said, "Tell me what you sense with your clairvoyant vision." And the guy said, "Wow, I've been handed many kinds of water before, you know, treated with weird devices, and most of them don't really have much going for them." He said, "This is full of what I will call a white light, and there's a purple and a blue light around the border." So that was kind of interesting because, you know, in effect, what Spirit had shown me was a movie of this white light being created. And again, I was told that each of those spots of white light winking into existence was one protoform of an atom, of usually a rare earth element or a metallic element or a transition element. But again, in a very, very rarefied or subtle Ormus form. By the way, the SM2 and the SM3 devices can take water further than the traditional device can. So that's why they can imprint more of this or impress or allow creation. I like those words the best. They can allow creation of more of this in the water than can the conventional Ormus technology. Nothing wrong with the conventional technology.
I didn't understand what you meant when you say the word proto or proto-proto or proto-proto-proto. What does that mean for
you? Yeah, it's funny. I tend to use language in this realm very similar to that used by Danae Harding, and that's interesting because we both speak to angels and Holy Spirit, and guess we're both getting similar information. What I mean by proto is I don't mean the elements in their ionic or metallic form as they exist on Earth normally, you know, the form, you know, in other words, they don't exist as, they're not coming into being as cobalt or iron or, any other element you can think of, nickel, gold, silver. They're coming in as a rarefied Ormus form, a very etheric form of Ormus. Yes, there is an atom there, but it's the most totally inert in terms of real-world properties. It has almost no response at all to magnetic or electric fields or to most scientific instruments, whereas coarse Ormus, such as the Ormus form that's present in seawater or rock dust or in many of the Ormus products produced by inorganic chemistry, that's a coarser Ormus. To give you a great example of a coarser Ormus, I often buy, maybe once a year, I buy a couple of bottles of pure organic. It's a precipitate Ormus-type product that was made from, it's azomite, from azomite by Bruce out in the Rockies. I know he passed on a few years ago, but his wife is still carrying on the business. The Ormus form in that is what I would call a very coarse form of Ormus, meaning it's closer to metallic or ionic form than the really subtle form. So when I say proto or proto-proto, I mean atoms that are in their rarest, most etheric Ormus form possible, and they've literally just popped into this world out of what some people would call the ether or other people would call subquantum space or other people would call out of zero point, and they don't really have much of an identity yet. If you really ask them, they can say, "Yeah, I'm iron," and another one will raise its hand and say, I'm zinc," and another one will say, "I'm gold," and another one will say, "I'm samarium or rare earth." But beyond that, they don't have much of an identity yet or much in the way of chemical or physical properties.
Jim, my friend Jim gave an example of this. He said, it's like every element has three legs. And
yes,
the metallic form, all three legs are here. Ormus form, two of the legs are here and one leg is in spirit or somewhere else.
Yeah. I agree.
This form is two legs are somewhere else and one leg is here. And example to Danae, she really liked that. And that's the example she uses now in her talks.
That's really awesome. And when you gave me that example a few weeks ago, I liked it too. Just to back up a bit, when I was in my acupuncture program, the one-year program, the graduate level program, this was an esoteric kind of acupuncture out of Europe that was based on a very ancient type of Chinese acupuncture. One of the things I was told is that, you know, everybody loves to talk about qi or qi or qi, whatever they want to call it. And, you know, I was told by a lot of my professors that, you know, everybody likes to think there's only one kind of qi, And they said, in our school of acupuncture, in our tradition, we are taught, based on ancient Taoist teachings from thousands of years ago, that there are at least 30 different levels of bodily energy, of different kinds of subtle energy or different levels of chi, ranging from coarse to fine. Years later, as an intuitive, I have to say that I now realize there are at least 99 or 100 levels, and probably there are 300 levels, but for practical purposes, we can say there are at least 100 levels. So therefore, there are potentially 100 different levels of Ormus products, too. The coarsest would often be some of the precipitate, not all, but some of the precipitate product, azomite rock dust or from something else, or even from pascalite clay if you want to get really exotic. The more subtle would be the kinds that you would find in Danae's water and Danae's gold product, her liquid gold, and also in the magnetite water. It's definitely more subtle. You don't drink this stuff and say, wow, things are healing all over my body, you know, as soon as you drink it. Rather, a few days later after drinking it regularly or a few months or weeks later, you go, wow. Look at the changes. Yeah. My skin looks 10 years younger. My hair is changing color. By the way, I have had to answer either Barry.
Say that again.
Or me?
Yeah, please.
To answer a question that either Barry or Dennis asked me earlier and I never answered, yes, I have noticed changes in my skin, further improvements, but to be honest, I've been getting a lot of compliments in my skin anyway for a number of years, at least for my age. I'd have to do the math. I'm somewhere around 56, 57. I don't know the numbers. I can't keep track of that anymore. But I'm 56, that's right. Because I'm Italian, I tend to have soft skin anyway. Because I've been an EM for so many years and all kinds of other good things and a raw diet, I also have pretty good skin. But my skin got even softer looking and better looking now that I've been on the Meow water. Interestingly enough, I do have some liver spots or so-called age spots on my skin on the back of my hands. They have not disappeared yet due to the magnetite water. Whenever I mention that to John Maluski, he just says, give it 6 months. I'll be the first to report it if it happens.
Great. Take pictures, please.
Get it on the... Yeah, wash it off, please.
Hello?
I'm sorry, somebody's asking something and your voice is very faint. Could you repeat that louder?
Can you hear me?
Oops. Now I don't hear it at all. There was a woman who had asked a question in a very faint voice. I couldn't really hear you. Could you repeat that? Okay.
I think she might have dropped off.
I think what she said was, they'll just wash off. That's what I heard.
Oh, that would make sense.
Listen, I'd just like to seize this moment to mention before anyone else leaves that our guest for next call, the mid-month call, will be Thomas Geckler of Cherokee Gold. And Thomas, you said you wanted to explore some of the subtle aspects of the work you're doing with the sound frequencies. Would you give us a one-minute overview of that, just as a preview of what you're going to be doing in a couple of weeks?
Well...
If you're still on?
I am.
Right.
Unplug my headpiece here. What I'll end up talking about is where all of this is leading us, where Ormus leads. I've found several different technologies now that lead to brain coherence, and I don't know if the coherence of the brain is if I'm putting the cart before the horse, or if that's the physical effect of the changes that we're undergoing. But sun gazing does it, and binaural beats do it, and that's what they do at the Monroe Institute, and they pioneered that, although it's widely available as well. There's brainwave generators, frequency generators. You can set all that stuff up. There's presets available and so on. And I guess what I'd like to do is talk about what happens when the brain coheres and the training that I've had to kind of deal with that. I think that a lot of it's interesting to hear Vinny talk about, you know, drinking a bunch of the water and having that that and feeling it so intensely, because, you know, that's what everybody writes to me is, I want to feel it. I drink the water and I don't feel it. And, you know, and I say, well, you know, finish it up and then look back in 6 months and see if you still feel the same way.
It's often about persistence, you know.
Well, and I think I think subtle is the word. And so I guess what I'll end up talking about is literally the out-of-body experiences that I've been having and where they're leading me to and the kind of resolution and healing that's available when you move beyond the emotional stuff. I've had similar experiences as well of sitting in the dentist chair and having it all buzz back at once. It's kind of frightening. And I don't think that if I didn't have some sort of metaphysical background that I would be prepared emotionally and spiritually to deal with this sort of stuff. I too deal with talk with angels and spirits and came to all this through those kind of methods. And those are the exact words they use is protoplasm and proto-matter. And I can see it kind of blinking in. And in a lot of ways, I see when I'm out of body, I see that as I see spirits or beings in the same way, which are really out of body, kind of blinking in and blinking out. And so it's interesting to me that this is all one fabric and one process. There's one of us over here. There's just one of us over there too, and I guess that's what I'll talk about, because that's what my adventure is just now, is kind of unifying it all and having it all come into single paths or paths that seem to be converging. Anyway,
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Vinny, what was your impression of Thomas's water? You said that you particularly liked it.
Yeah, let me tell you a bit about that. I don't tend to buy many Ormus-type products from other people. Two reasons. First of all, I have a number of free ones I've gotten over the years because I've done some consulting for some Ormus companies. And B, I'm going to admit, I'm not overly impressed by a number of the Ormus products out there, particularly compared to the hype advertising that often accompanies them. A while back, a few months ago, I said, okay, I've got a little extra income coming in. I'm willing to spend a few bucks on some other people's Ormus products. And I already, of course, have mentioned Pureganic. Pureganic is something I've played with for years. It's a precipitate made from azomite. And I take that a few times a month. But I wanted something different. So I said to Spirit, I said, look, I don't want to go through all of the millions of ads and all of that. Just tell me if I want to get some magnet trap water type products or super magnet trap water type liquid products, what would be the best? So I was guided to Thomas's company. I was guided to two companies, one of which was Thomas's company, and the Tears of Trihalta product, and I ordered a one-quart bottle of the Tears of Trihalta liquid. Thomas, do you have another name for it, too? I might not have the name right.
Well, actually, it's Trilita, but I just call it Tears. It's just really because it's from the spring of Trilita.
Yeah, I always mispronounce that when I get the syllables reversed. I got about a quart of the water.
You looked up Thomas's... You got Thomas from the spiritual yellow pages.
The only other trap water that I was guided to, by the way, was the Mountain Manna product. I think his name is Doug, out more toward the West Coast.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bought a quart of your product, and then about a half hour later, I asked Spirit. I said, you know what? I've always avoided the magnet trap devices, largely because they waste a lot of water, largely because I'm not that all impressed. But, gosh, if I were going to buy one, what would be the best of all available for me to buy? And Spirit said, go back to that same page and order the device. And better yet, it's only about $160. So I bought your water trap device, too. They arrived at a very, very busy time when I was in my lab putting the finishing touches on some new stuff. So I haven't played with much. I drank a bit of the Tears water, maybe a half ounce a day for the first 3 days, and then on the fourth day, this was the same day that I chose to drastically abuse my Meow water and my Meow SM2 water also. After I was done abusing them, by abusing I mean grossly over-consuming them to the point of, like, you know, what's going to happen to this body? Is it going to explode? Spirit said, well, hey, if you've done all that, why don't you take a big swig of the tears? So I poured half of the bottle, a pint of it, into a glass and drank it. This is of your tears of trait. I can't pronounce it. The tears of the tears product. Well, my mind will never get its tongue around that big word. So, but it's a beautiful word, though.
Just tell people it's just water.
I definitely feel that your liquid helped precipitate that particular healing crisis at that time. And again, just to reiterate for anybody who might have been like wincing when they heard that story, yes, it was rather painful, but relax, I've been through far worse, and I knew all along exactly what it was. I've trained in many, many, many energy and healing systems that involved some very nasty healing crises. As a matter of fact, I studied body electronics for 13 years, and you want to talk about really violent healing crises, we could talk about that someday. I have only played with your trap once. I made a half gallon of water only once. It's just time. I was guided by spirit not to drink that trap water directly, but rather to put it in 25-ounce empty spring bottles that would fit in my magnetite, you know, my magnetite meow devices, and I treated it in there for 12 hours in one of my super devices. And then I started drinking it, and I drink that stuff like water. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll drink only 1 or 2 ounces, but sometimes I'll take a swig of a whole pint at a time. It's too early for me to really report on that yet. I just can tell you, though, that when I asked Spirit if I were going to buy a magnetic trap device of all of the hundreds out there on the market, because I certainly wasn't going to have the patience to build one, I said, what one would you recommend I get? And Spirit said, oh, just go back to Thomas's site in Georgia and buy his. So that much I can tell you.
Oh, well, that's very kind. Thank you. I spent the day building traps.
Better you than me. Don't get me wrong. I do build some weird things in my lab, but I tend to prefer to build only the weird things that Spirit tells me to build, you know, that Spirit wants me to start bringing into the world, you know? So for the others, I'm more than happy to pay you your $160 for your trap device. When I start playing with that more, and especially when I start treating the resultant water in my Meow device more, I'll talk more about the results with it, you know, probably on my Ormus water, my Meow water list group.
It takes some other questions and then wind the call up because I have to be somewhere else. Soon.
Okay.
Okay. How about one more question?
I got a question for you, Vinny.
Well, now, who's this?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, who is this?
This is Dick from Vancouver Island.
Hi.
I'd just like to know what your feelings are about the oxidation reduction potential of different waters, and what I wanted to do was get an ORP meter to test some of the sea waters that I've been experimenting with.
Yeah.
And I felt that, you know, perhaps a lower ORP might indicate something. the reason I'm asking is because I got some really interesting water from a magnetic anomaly source. I'm sure some other people will know what I'm talking about that have been on the white gold list. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I have a picture of it, too. I noticed that it was making little sparks when I added the NaOH to it when I was precipitating.
Oh, that's so funny, because sparks are a very common... Danae Harding talks about the sparks a lot in her sparky water, and a few other people have mentioned this, too, with some of the non-traditional Ormus-type products, yeah.
Well, the peculiar part about this is that some of the other waters that I've collected, as a matter of fact, any of the other waters I've collected don't do this that I've noticed, except from this one place. And the other thing is, I went back there, and just we collected 250 gallons of the stuff in 5-gallon pails, and I couldn't get it to do the same thing, and it was a much different production. As a matter of fact, it was less than the average waters around, but I think I missed it. So what I wanted to do, the area is fairly narrow, and I thought I was in the same place as I collected the first good water.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a natural vortex that occurs right on top of a big magnetic anomaly there that's strong enough to swing the compass on your boat. And first time I collected it there, I just sort of went here and there and everywhere all around the place, and I don't know exactly where the good stuff came from, but I rather suspect it was at the bottom end of a whirlpool on a certain tide. Do you think that an ORP meter might tell me a little bit about the water?
Yeah, it may help you a lot. A couple of quick warnings, because I don't want to take up the whole call on this, because this isn't really, you know, directly connected with the original topics. But real quickly, several things. I strongly recommend don't ever measure ORP alone. Always get a pH meter as well, or a dual meter that has probes for both, and measure pH as well, because examining pH and ORP in relation with each other will always tell you far more than looking at either one alone, okay? Secondly, once you have both of those measures, you can plug them into Clark's famous equation called the relative hydrogen score equation, and I talk about this on my h-.org website. I have pages devoted to the relative hydrogen score. You can plug these two numbers into the relative hydrogen score equation, and you can come up with a third value, a calculated value called relative hydrogen score, which is even a more accurate measure of the amount of hydrogen energy present in that water than is the ORP. It's a deeper, more accurate measure than ORP alone. Warning about ORP meters, that doesn't apply too much to pH meters, because since they have a logarithmic scale, they're far more robust. The problem with an ORP meter is the electrodes tend to get contaminated very quickly. So the probe, if you are going to own an ORP meter, this is with the pH meter, you must keep the probe wet at all times, you know, in tap water, doused in tap water. And do not ever use distilled water or RO water. They're a hungry, aggressive water, and they will suck all of the good minerals out of the center of the electrode and destroy it. So you must soak it in real tap water or mineral water, not in distilled or RO water. Thirdly, you're going to need to clean the electrode. My website, my h-ion.org website, has complete instructions on how to maintain electrodes. If you don't maintain your ORP electrode, you will get consistently high readings up in the oxidized range. For example, you may end up with readings saying 300 or 320, whereas the real reading might have been minus 20 or minus 120, which would indicate some really interesting hydrogen ion activity going on and antioxidant power going on, and you would have totally missed it. This is a mistake that even some of the most famous scientists and scientific studies in the world over the last 100 years have made with ORP meters. So please be very careful about that.
Yeah, I got that. As a matter of fact, I was kind of hoping that maybe you could give me a recommendation for a combination ORP meter. I'm looking at the Ross unit right now.
What?
And it's a Ross pH. Your combination ORP.
I'm not familiar with that. Offhand, I can strongly recommend the HANA, H-A-N-A brand. They're amazing.
That was the other one.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I sometimes buy used ORP meters and pH meters, you know, digital ones, even on eBay or LabX.com. Usually labx.com, and then I just buy new probes. You know, you can buy probes in quantity for like 50, 60 bucks a piece at any lab supply company. There are companies that do nothing but sell ORP and pH probes with, you know, a 6-foot cable and the BNC male connector on the other end, you know. So I have dozens of them here. I have at any given time about a dozen pH and ORP meters working in my labs, and I go through the electrodes so fast that I have literally a dozen warehoused here on my storage shelves. Don't get me wrong, I do clean them aggressively, but once in a while I just get real pissed off on electrode, usually ORP, and I throw it away and replace it and just reach up on the shelf and grab one.
Yeah,
I would recommend HANA.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking the Ross might be better, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I have no familiarity with them. I can speak to HANA. HANA makes excellent quality products. They really do.
Okay, that's what I'm going to buy. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, I wish you the best in your research. Yeah.
Thanks very much. If this stuff works out, I'll try and send you some. I've been also having trouble sending it. It has a tendency to blow up in transit. I don't know why. The bottles just pop or explode.
Oh, I contact me sometime offline. Really quickly, my email address is vinny@mindspring.com.
I got it.
Or just find any of my websites, or go to, you know, my websites give away my home phone number and my office phone number and my email address real easily. I can probably help you figure that out in 5 minutes or less for free, okay?
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Vinny.
Because I've seen this before with similar products, and it's almost always due to one of two phenomena, and I don't want to bother getting into it here. That's way too techy, but, you know.
One of these days, I want to hear it, too.
I'll email you immediately.
I'm sorry, I missed whoever just spoke. I missed that.
One of these days, I want to hear it, too. This is Barry.
Oh, yeah, no problem, Barry.
Okay.
I'll shoot you some results, too, Barry. I'm planning on it anyway.
Okay. One.
Yeah, Barry.
One,
I always tend to kind of keep you in the loop on these things. So.
Good. One more question.
Hello.
Yes, I have one. This is Tim from Cleveland, Ohio. Vinny, do you find that the meow devices, or even an EM, does it restore the negative hydrogen ions to the water, or?
That particular effect I have never particularly noticed with meow devices, and yes, I've done extensive studies in the lab on the water coming out of them. The main changes I see with lab instrumentation on the water coming out of a meow device is in certain bumps that you start seeing in the absorbance spectrophotometry, mostly in the UV and near blue and blue and green region. They're the only, my digital spectrophotometer only covers UV, VIS, and NIR. When I have sent samples out to outside labs that have the very expensive infrared spectrometry, now that gets expensive for a number of reasons. My device only costs $18,000. These things cost hundreds of thousands. There are other bumps in the infrared and the far infrared as well. But there's very little change in ORP. There's a tiny change in pH. There's a very little change in ORP. The one that would tend to have direct effects on what I'll call the negative hydrogen ion store of your body, and what I'm really talking about here is all the primeval hydrogen-based and hydride-based antioxidants. The one to restore that pool in your body, EM, would be the choice to go with. As a matter of fact, to tell you a wild story, when you're fermenting EM or EM brews at home, even, or in your shop, at about the second day, and by the way, this will make a liar out of me because the exact stage depends on a million variables. Early in fermentation, the ORP of that liquid drops to minus 435 millivolts, and that, coupled with the low pH, yields a relative hydrogen score of 0.01, one of the lowest relative hydrogen scores ever seen in the world for anything. So that stuff, because of what the purple microbes are doing at that moment, they're basically peeing out negative hydrogen ions and atomic hydrogen. That, at that point, is one of the most powerful nutritional antioxidant substances in the world. Eventually, those same microbes and other microbes eventually convert a lot of those hydrogen antioxidants into higher-order antioxidants, such as carotenoids and anthocyanins and coenzyme Q10, you know, more complex, higher molecular weight antioxidants. But, by the way, if you want to really soup up your body's store of negative hydrogen ion and the similar hydride things, start taking a capsule once in a while of Patrick Flanagan's Mega H product. That's wild.
Patrick Flanagan's Mega what?
It's a product that used to be called, it's a nutritional antioxidant sold by vitamin and supplement companies all over the world. It used to be called Mega Hydrin. Nowadays it's simply called Mega H, all one word, Mega and then a capital H as in hydrogen. Some people call it mega H minus, you know, an H minus after the H to indicate that one of the hydride forms present is the simple hydride ion of hydrogen. You can go to Google and do a product search. There's a million companies that will sell you a bottle for $19 a bottle. It's powerful stuff. Drink it with a lot of water. If you're going to take even one cap, make sure and drink it with, oh, gosh, at least 10 or 12 ounces of water. It's very powerful stuff.
Okay, we're losing lots of people now. I think it's probably time to start winding things up.
Sounds good.
Yeah, now, I have to say that this has been a really information-packed call, Vinny. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a really great call.
Yeah, sorry I got disconnected there by my long-distance service for a minute.
Well, thank you very much, Vinny, for joining us on this call.
Yes, thank you all, and for everybody who is here or was here, thank you. And, again, if you need to learn more about my own work, you know, just go check out those websites I gave you and have fun. And, Barry, I will forward if the winners would forward me, Vinny@mindspring.com, if you'll forward me your contact and shipping information, or if you have that, Barry, I'll forward that.
I just sent you the names and the email address.
No, yeah, I got that. I just need their mailing information now and shipping to forward on to SCD, because I'll take care of the liaison. So thank you all, and good evening to everyone. And I'm going to go have a late dinner. I'm going to have a raw hamburger.
Could I just ask one question before you go?
Yeah.
Is there a specific spot for your meow stuff? Because I didn't notice that. I noticed it once, but then when I forward and backed on my computer, I couldn't find where I saw it. So.
Oh, that's real easy. Just go to Google and type meow and the word magnetite, and it will take you right to my website, okay?
Okay.
That's, again, go to Google, type the word meow, doesn't matter whether it's uppercase or the word magnetite. And if you want to really give it a double whammy, add the word Ormus, and you'll be taken right to my website.
Okay, great. Thank you so
much. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Have a nice dinner.
Have a nice dinner.
Yeah. Take care.
Morning. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, Dennis. Good night, Barry.
See you later.
Bye.
Good night, Barry. Good night, Vinny.
I'm here.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Dennis. Good night, Vinny.
Catch you later.
John,
good night.
Boy.
Good night. Take care. Have fun, guys. Talk to you all later.